worry about it. I appreciate you dearly, and I know that that probably should go without saying, but when you've worshipped in different congregations, you've served with different congregations, you've served with different elders, I know that no place is perfect, no people are perfect, but in 16 years, I thoroughly enjoy every opportunity I have to worship with you, to study with you, and I hope that we're in the same kind of the boat in terms of how you feel about me as well. This passage here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 through 2 is, in a lot of ways, an offshoot of what this morning's lesson was leading into. So if you weren't here this morning, we talked about you were meant for more, and we talked mostly about how you don't want to be held back by the things that can hold you back. Procrastination, fear, doubt, all of those things can hold you back from being who you're capable of being. Tonight's goal is to keep with our lesson series on discipline and to keep with the discipline of perseverance. I know that in your mind that may not seem like a discipline. Perseverance, if you look at the synonyms of perseverance, that could be you're a tenacious person, you're purposeful in your actions. Whatever you want to think about, there is something that's important about being disciplined in consistency and persevering through that consistency. When we talk about 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 through 2, the passage that we just had read, it's important for you to glean from that you are doing well. It's important for you to hear that. As a congregation here, I do believe we're doing well. I do believe we're striving to do the right things. We're not perfect by any means, but we're striving to be that way. And knowing many of you the way that I do believe you are doing everything that you're encouraged to do by God's word. But as he tells them here in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 through 2, you can do better. And the idea and the concept here tonight is excelling still more. And that's kind of what we're going to drive at tonight in terms of our goal for this idea of discipline and perseverance to want to be better. When you read the word perseverance or the word excellence or to excel in the Greek, what it actually means is to overflow. It means to abound, to be over and above and around, to exist in full quantity, to be advanced, to be abundantly supplied. The word in a modified form can mean extraordinary or surpassing. So why is that important? If you'll turn over with me, we're going to look at a couple verses here in this first point, which is really defining what perseverance would be, excelling still more. Hebrews 12 and 1 through 2. If you'll turn there with me, Hebrews 12 and 1 through 2. In this particular context, in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, the writer of Hebrews has just concluded what a lot of people would refer to as the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. These extraordinary examples of ordinary people that are doing things for God. And in chapter 12 and verse 1, he starts to conclude his statement, this chapter-long statement, if you will. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's a really important concept to grasp. And that's really the first main part of our section of our lesson here today, is to really grasp the importance of endurance. I know that many of you, if we asked you to step outside and we put on running gear, if I asked you to run a marathon, most of you would say, I'll sit out. I'm good. Thank you. If I asked you to run a 5K even, you'd probably say, I'll walk it, no problem, but I'm not running it. And why is that? Well, you have to train to bring yourself up to a point where you can have endurance. Not to get too technical in terms of the medical standpoint of that, but your VQ max, the way that your lungs expand and decrease, the more you work out your lungs, the better they get, the stronger they get, the healthier they get. What you would be surprised to find is that an endurance runner, such as one that runs in the Olympics even, if they are to take 2 weeks off, 2 months off, the amount of their ability to run, the speed at which they're running, their endurance, the way it changes and decreases in a significant amount of time is impressive. How you can go from if you've been running a lot and then all of a sudden you don't do it for about 5 days and you try to go do what you were doing 5 days ago, if you haven't been running before, it's actually kind of depressing because you're like, I was doing just fine 5 days ago. And then if you don't run for 2 months, you look back and think, man, I was running great 2 months ago. What happened? When we talk about endurance, when we talk about the way that we should persevere as Christians, the importance is consistency and aboundingly consistent. There's a difference between being mildly consistent with something and being on point every time that you can be. Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. I think the goal here would be to understand that you're not. He says in verse 2 of chapter 12 where we were, he's talking about laying aside the things that can hold us back, that we cling to so closely, the sin. Let's run with endurance the race that is set before us in verse 1. He says in verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He uses the word here again, endured. Why does he say that? Because the Hebrew writer, looking back in other epistles, Paul and Jesus himself understood that this was not going to be a sprint. Christianity, the church, our lives in general as we serve God were not going to be something that just happened overnight. It wasn't going to be something that you could accomplish in a week or a month's time. It was something that was going to take a lifetime to excel at. It doesn't mean that it's not worth it. It's just the fact that you want to strive every day to be better. Paul parallels this somewhat in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 8 again, and kind of trying to define perseverance. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Paul, in writing to those in Corinth, says here in verse 8, food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. When he's talking about the offering of idols, when he's talking about all of these other things that if someone's lacking in knowledge, they're lacking in knowledge in the way that whether they should not eat meat that's been sacrificed to idols, what's the most important part of the aspect there? You're mature. You understand. You've endured whatever it is that you've had to come to this point. Teach them. Take the time to teach them. Don't do something that will be a stumbling block for them, but take the time to teach them. You need to endure this in order to allow them to grow spiritually. Many times they would, in essence, scoff at the fact that someone didn't understand something. We see that in the Galatian letters, that when Paul is writing to the Galatians, he's very upset with them because they've been bewitched by Judaizing teachers. And he says, I don't understand how so quickly you could have gotten away from the gospel. They didn't understand the importance of endurance, the importance of perseverance, but more importantly, the consistency of staying with the apostles' teachings. He tells them at some point in the Galatians as well, in that first beginning portion of that letter, look, even if I come and tell you something that's contrary to what you have already learned from us, don't believe it. What we have to understand as we grow as Christians, as we strive to endure this life, is that it's going to take time to grow. But more importantly, it's worth the time that it takes to grow. We read earlier this morning about the fact that discipline, although it's difficult at the time, it's worth it. You reap what you sow, in essence, what the scripture would say. So when we talk about the idea of defining what perseverance really means, it means that we are striving to do something for ourselves and striving to do something for others in a consistent manner every day to look to be better. That doesn't mean you have to make extreme improvements in your life. If you've ever done a training program for anything, they don't throw everything at you right in the beginning. If they do, it's a really poor training program. They want to build on things. They want to slowly get you where you want to be. We read here in chapter 12 about what was it that he said is our foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation. You have to establish that foundation, but you have to continue to build on that foundation. If we don't, what you have built upon will be broken down. The second point of our lesson would be that even though you're doing well, we could be doing better. When we talk about 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 through 2, go back to 1 Thessalonians, if you will, and look back at chapter 1 with me in the beginning of this letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonians. He goes back to chapter 1 and verse 2 and beginning, he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor, of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you." I won't speak for the elders, but I do believe I could say this, and they wouldn't disagree with me. We are thankful for you. Not just being here tonight, but we are thankful for you. We're thankful for the fact that you strive to try and do what's right before God. We're thankful that you take the time to study. We're thankful that you take the time to be different and to try to be different. But what we'd encourage you to do, and what the gospel is encouraging to do, is Paul says to the Thessalonians, as we'll see in a few moments, that would be the second point of our lesson. If you've defined excellence, you defined excelling or perseverance, whatever that might be, understand that it's not just about being consistent, it's about striving to be better every time. When we look at these verses, when he says, "We give thanks to you," he says, "Look, I'm really happy for all the great things that you're doing." It's exemplary if you consider all the things that you're doing. Chapter 2, if you look over in the next chapter in verse 13, that's chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians in verse 13. "We constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God." Skipping down to verse 14, "You became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus in Judea." This was a good group. They were doing good things, but what is Paul going to go on to say? "We still ask you to excel still more." And that might seem like something that's rather depressing when you think about, why would I want to continue to try and get better? In essence, I've already arrived. I'm a Christian. I worship consistently. I do what God asks me to do. What is it more that you want me to do, man? What is it more that you want me to do? Strive to get better every day. That's what God asks of us. If you really look back on your life and you're honest with yourself, if you became a Christian, say at 14, and you're, say, 65, and you look back on your life and you think, "I have done some wonderful things for God," were there also some setbacks in your life? If you're being honest, I'm sure there were, spiritually, maybe even physically, mentally, whatever you want to say. With every time that we're stepping forward, there are times where we're also stepping backward. Part of perseverance, part of training, part of discipline, and excelling still more is accepting the fact that there are going to be, and I'm going to use the running example again because Paul likes to use racing as a good example. There's going to be some laps that you're running and some miles that you're running where your times are not going to be what you expected them to be. They're going to be less than what you expected them to be. And you can react in two ways. You can say, "You know what? I felt pretty good on that. I was slower than I wanted to be. No big deal. I'll just keep running at the pace that I'm running at." What you'll find is eventually you're going to get more and more and more accustomed with not wanting to excel more. You're going to get accustomed with the status quo. In essence, what Paul gets onto people often in the New Testament, what Jesus gets onto them for, would be not just the fact that those who knew what they were supposed to be doing weren't doing it, but also, you're not trying to get better. You're just content with where you're at. Is that you, is the question tonight, more than anything. Philippians 3, Paul has a very different message. Paul looked on his own life in Philippians chapter 3, and he says, "Not as though I have already attained, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." When we talk about the way that we should strive for things, should Paul not be one of the examples that we see? Paul, who was in line to be likely on the Sanhedrin Council, who when he says, when he's talking to the Galatians about his resume, he says to them, I forgot I wasn't supposed to walk away from the microphone. Sorry about that. He says to them, "Look, I was doing everything I could possibly do in the Jewish culture. I was everything that a Jew was supposed to be. And I was not just that, but I was excelling beyond my peers." But notice what he says here in Philippians. Notice what he says in other verses in the New Testament. It wasn't ever going to be enough for Paul. And the reason was, is he had not attained the prize that he was seeking. Are you running the race of life in a way that you're content where you're at right now? Because if you are, you've already lost the battle. You're losing the race if you think that you've arrived. You're losing the race if you think that you've arrived. You're not racing against Gary, which, no offense, Gary would probably be an easy race. It might have not have been when you were younger, but if it's a race that you're striving for, what's holding you back from being able to attain the things that you should be doing? When we talk about being better, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to strive to reach that goal? What would be the concluding arguments, if you will, for what we're striving for here? When we look at different verses, such as the second letter to Corinthians that Paul wrote in chapter 8, if you want to turn over there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. Read this verse with me for just a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and let's actually skip back up to verse 7. But as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment, this benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. If you're desiring to do something, to finish what you started, keep working at it. Three things for you, and then the lesson will be yours. I realize that it's a short lesson, but I've said what I needed to say, and I feel like these three points would be conclusive. The lesson will be yours. Number one, you can't think that you've arrived. Look no further than Paul if you think that you've arrived spiritually, if you think that you've arrived in your career, if you think that you've arrived in your family, if you think in any aspect of your life that you've, quote, arrived, don't think that way. If you become a doctor, you have a doctorate in medicine, or you're a medical doctor, you're a doctor of osteopathic medicine, whatever you have reached as the pinnacle of your career possible, what do they still require? Continuing education. Things change. Training changes because technology changes. Are we still doing what we did 70 years ago for medicine? Thank the good Lord that we're not, because that would be bad. Think about it from an engineering perspective. Think about it from any aspect of our lives. If we were still doing what we did 70 to 100 years ago, now that we've made the advances in technology that we have, why is your life different? Why should your life be different physically and spiritually? That you shouldn't strive to be better. Stop thinking that you've arrived. That's number one. Number two would be strive to ensure that someone else believes that too. It's one thing if you're doing that in your life, you're striving to be that way. Maybe you're a very passionate person and you can inspire others to do those things just as you strive to do in your own life. That should be your goal as well. Your goal shouldn't be that you're the only one that ends up in heaven. Every hand that you touch, every person you speak with, may God's glory and the words of Jesus Christ flow from your mouth, that they might be changed for the better and that the glory of the kingdom might grow because of you. Just because you're doing wonderful things doesn't mean that tomorrow you can't strive to do more. And that would be the final point, the third point of our lesson, or the third point of this section would be, what does being better mean? I'll use the racing example again. If you ran a 6.5 minute mile and you wanted to make it better, first of all, good for you if you can run that fast. But secondly, if you want to make that better, what are you going to have to do? Slowly but surely, you train every day to get better, to get faster. And if you do, within a couple weeks, you've probably shaved some time off of your mile. The same would be with our minds spiritually and our hearts. Maybe you do love people. Maybe you do love God. You can love them more, and you can love Him more. It simply takes one more step, one more verse to read, one more verse to memorize, one more phone call to make, one more card to write. Whatever it is that you're good at doing, that God has blessed you with to bless the king, the people of this kingdom, then do it. Be better tomorrow than you were today. Simply, one more call is as easy as that might be. When we talk about being better, that's all that God is asking of us. Strive to excel, to do more. Abounding with your love and abounding with His love flowing from you. Will you put this song up, please? Trust and obey. That's really all that He asks of us, is it not? Trust me, because I will never fail you. I've never made a promise that I didn't keep. You can look back through all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament, and every bit of the New Testament leading up to the crucifixion, leading up to the beginning of the church, is a culmination of God saying, I told you so. I told you I was going to do this. I did it. And now let me tell you more about what I've done for you through my Son and through His apostles. That's the beauty of God's Word, that He doesn't just say He's going to do something. He does it, and He backs it up. Trust Him and obey Him. And simply all that means, in terms of the discipline we talked about tonight, be a little bit better tomorrow. If you failed today, be better tomorrow. If you failed horrendously for the last 20 years, make your life right tonight and be better tomorrow. If we can do anything for you tonight, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.